But once we test 30, and if we break 30 on a few closes, that is the magic number, Eddie. That ignites the silver equity trade, and you want to be positioned ahead of that. I firmly believe we're going to be, and this is definitely a different position that I've held the last few years. I definitely feel we're going to test 30 this year. I feel we're going to break 30 this year, and you want to be positioned ahead of that.
John Fenech, how you doing?
Hey, good, Andy. How are you?
Doing good. Things are ripping here. Gold keeps on ripping higher. Silver keeps on ripping higher. It looks like it's almost going parabolic. Who's buying? Why is it moving like it is moving?
Well, gold was telling you something in the last couple of weeks now that we have seen what happened with Iran and Israel on April 13th, right? I think that anytime you see 300 plus drones going anywhere in the world, that's going to get the attention of many, many people. And it's an unfortunate situation. It's getting worse, not better. We've been saying that this situation since October 7th has been escalating, not de-escalating, like so many think or hope. Hope is not a strategy. You have to be able to invest based on fact. And if you do your homework, there's a lot of strife going on in the Middle East right now, and it is not looking better. So you have to, this weekend kind of solidified that, right? So you're seeing a gold run up into the weekend. Now today, you know, being Monday the 15th, an absolutely beautiful day again for gold. Why, Andy? Gold loves fear. You know, that's the facts. It's not something I, you know, want or hope for. It's a fact. And so gold will trade higher on the back of bad news like that. Or scary news that could escalate, right? And silver has been catching up to the gold trade. So that's really important for the entire precious metals complex, right? Because silver was, you know, not doing very well. We've been saying for months, even though it's our biggest position, that it would take a break above 26 an ounce for this to really get going. We didn't see a break above 26 an ounce for months. I mean, go back and look at the chart. And then we saw that happen a few weeks ago, and 26 broke like that. It was like real quick, and it broke on the first attempt, you know, at 26. It wasn't like it took 5 days, and then it just went to 28 real fast, right? Because there's really no resistance between 26 and 28-ish. And so then
you saw, that's what you have referred to in our previous talk. So go ahead.
Yeah, that's true. People want to check that out. I love doing these because hold people true. Accountable to what they say, right?
Yeah, no, that was a great call, Don. So I want to make sure that's recognized. Go ahead.
So now we're flirting with 30, right? At 28 to 29, we'll have some resistance. And that's what you're seeing play out currently. But once we test 30, and if we break 30 on a few closes, that is the magic number, Eddie. That ignites the silver equity trade. And you want to be positioned ahead of that. I firmly believe we're going to be, and this is definitely a different position that I've held the last few years. I definitely feel we're going to test 30 this year. I feel we're going to break 30 this year, and you want to be positioned ahead of that. I don't know when this is going to happen. It could happen this month, next month. It's that kind of parabolic activity I'm seeing in silver that could lead us to a much better place. And when I say a much better place, a lot of these silver producers, a lot of these companies in general, they need 22 to 25 silver to be really profitable. So here at 28 plus, you're like, okay, this is starting to move in the right direction. And that's why some of these silver equities are starting to move well.
Yeah, no, so I want to unpack some of this a little bit more. And I want you to touch briefly, because I don't think it's only, and again, I am not pulling for any kind of conflict anywhere. I'm hoping against that, and hope that gets resolved. I don't see it getting resolved, but I hope so. That being said, I don't think it's entirely driven by war. What was interesting to me, and I want you to comment about it, the CPI came in hot.
Yeah.
You would think that would have been a great reason for a pullback in gold, both gold and silver, which, if my memory serves me correctly, it did momentarily, but then it shot up again. So Is this also indicating stresses in the economy, maybe also inflation, but the Fed is in a corner? What are your thoughts on that?
So let's think about the days that happened. April 10th was a Wednesday. That's when CPI came out. If you look at gold and silver that day, and look at a lot of your favorite stocks, they got killed. They did not have a good day. But then on April 11th, PPI came out, and PPI said a different story. And so then the gold trade was back on. And then on Friday the 12th, we had more jargon back and forth between world powers of let's prepare for a conflict here, because Iran was saying that they were going to respond to Israel's actions. And so, you know, that's what took us, you know, into the weekend, I think, pretty strong. Because if you're short gold or silver, as you know, so many people are, you don't want to be caught on a weekend. And look what happened today, right? It's like you have another great day in the complex, and you're chasing the cover.
Well, let's talk a lot about the stocks here and your methodology and what your strategy is for your clients, as well as what you teach to people like myself. I'm asking that too, is because I've been looking for a pullback. You had a minor one today. While gold and silver has been shooting up, which is very welcome, if you would. But how do you structure a portfolio and a trade? And work through that for me.
Well, on the portfolio side, we've always said, you know, you need a portfolio of about 50 or so names, maybe a little less, depending on your risk tolerance. But that helps you if you're wrong, right? I mean, I'm wrong all the time. You have to minimize your mistakes. And so if you have a 1% position on something that goes bankrupt, God forbid, then you have 99% working for you, right? If you've got a 5% position there, you're going to underperform the peer group. So you have to be really careful with overweights. I would say that we use GDX and J as a core holding for us. That would represent about 12% of our portfolio right now. So we use the ETFs as core, and then we build satellites around the core into, you know, junior stocks, mid-tier stocks, as well as large cap stocks. So I'm not one of the guys that you interview that just focuses on a junior market. I look at the Newmonts of the world on the large side. I look at the Heklas of the world on the mid-tier side, and I'm going to look at the super small stuff as well, right? And so all of that adds alpha, hopefully, outperformance, that is, to an overall portfolio.
Yeah. And that's really what you're seeking in, as well as what I'm seeking is alpha, is I just want to outperform, significantly outperform silver. And you can't do that if some of your picks are going bankrupt. And you're also not going to get the torque if you're just in the big players. The torque, I should say, the torque that you want. So,
right.
Okay. Walk me through structuring and through some trades that you've done or that you're looking at. And then you're having a webinar come up. Walk us through that.
Yeah. So, I mean, since we've last talked, copper has broken out. We talked a little bit about that on your program last, but now it's a firm breakout. So yes, we're looking at copper juniors that are unloved, that are going to do well at $5 copper. You know, if you go back and look, the last time we hit an all-time high in copper, it wasn't very long ago. And look at some of those stocks that performed during that time, right? And then compare it to today's price. You'd be shocked. Many of these juniors are 50% plus off from that run, which was what, like a year and a half, 2 years ago? I mean, it wasn't ancient history. So we're looking at that as value factors. We're looking at cheap silver plays on the equity side. We're looking at cheap gold plays. And to run it down by commodity for your listeners, I own 1% physical gold, roughly now, maybe a little more, about 8% physical silver, and no physical copper, because I have most of my money in equities related to those three commodities. In terms of our gold event, this is the first webinar I'm putting on just by myself. I've been part of maybe 70 webinars where you know, may have me on and have another gentleman on or another lady on to talk about the markets. But this one I'm going to be doing 100% myself. It's 90 minutes long, probably going to be structured about an hour and 10 of just going through different charts, different websites they use, different resources that can help an average investor. This isn't going to be like going over people's heads and very, very high level, because I want people to get something out of it. And then we'll open it up for questions for 20 or 30 minutes where you can ask me whatever you want, as long as it's reasonable. And I have a finite knowledge. I mean, I don't cover like 3,000 stocks. So it's, you know, it's a couple of hundred names that I cover, which is still a ton of research, but at least I can try to give people an idea of like where I'm coming from on certain trades, what the news might be like 1 to 6 months out. You know, I try to look near term instead of looking, hey, 3 years from now, they're going to have a PFS. Like, that's great, but that's not going to help you in the near term. So this is the kind of market where you have to be, I think, being honest with yourself. We've talked about this before. Look at your portfolio. Is it positioned for 2020 or 2024? Many clients I meet are still hanging on and doing this. And they're like, I know this stock's going to come back and it's probably not going to come back to the amount that you want it to, right? Because over the last 4 years, there's been probably a lot of dilution in that junior stock. Maybe there's been a management change. Maybe they, you know, had their JV go under with a big major. That's why you bought the stock. Like, you have to always check your thesis. And that's one of the things we're going to talk about at the Gold.
I'll put all of that, the show notes, and if you would, in the notes. And then any last words you want to say to the listeners here? Just any closing words?
Closing words. I mean, I've said this on both of the shows we've interviewed before, but you have to align yourself with a professional here. You know, advice is not free. And I don't give financial advice in terms of, hey, buy this or sell that. I'm talking like guidance, like this Gold event, right? I mean, if you can go find someone who's going to sit with you for an hour and a half for under $75 and walk you through stuff that has an actual track record, go do that. You know, like don't have to work with me. I'm just saying you have to work with someone that isn't like some 20 something from Seeking Alpha that charges you $20. Like, that's not getting it done. You need someone who's lived through the recession of 2000, like I did, the 08-09 crisis, and then bought mining stocks in 09, right? And made a lot of money in 09, had my second best year. 2016, when everyone was head in hands, we had our best year ever at 149%. So Andy, we try to protect the downside the best we can, but this is mining. You're going to have some downside risk. And all I can say is we outperform good markets like 09 and 16. And I think we're going to have another year like this right now. So that's why I've been encouraging people, hey, do your homework whenever you can. If you've got to work a job, I get it. But on the weekends, spend an hour, try to listen to some of my material, some of my peers' material, and to align yourself with two or three people, not 10, because you're going to get totally confused and you're going to have a portfolio of 150 stocks and regret it.
Yeah, no, and John, thank you for that. And just to the listeners, I want to say John's short selling himself here, no pun intended. I don't think you give yourself enough credit. We've had many offline conversations and they've proven to myself to be invaluable. So
thanks.
I'll just throw that out there. You bet. All right. Thanks, John. We'll see you again real soon, probably in the next few weeks, just to get a recap and see how everything's going.
Sounds great, Andy. Thanks.